Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, and welcome to Secrets to Creating Wealth, Module 2. Let's talk about economic conditions. Now, this is interesting. In the past 100 years, there have been 13 recessions. The longest one was from 1929 to 1940. In fact, that was the Great Depression. It was a recession plus, if you will. The shortest recession was in 1980. It lasted 6 months. At the time that I'm making this recording, there's a recession still going on that started in 2007. So the economy has periods of downturns and periods of growth. The most notable recent growth period was the tech boom between 1990 and 2001. You know, when computers were becoming popular, the internet gained international fame, and things really started blossoming. So there are ups and downs. But at the time I'm making this recording, there are current struggles going on. There are unemployment struggles. There's a lot of unemployment going on, people being laid off. Why? Because consumers aren't spending as much as they do in a non-recession situation. Health and medical expenses are on people's minds. Now, I'm talking primarily about the United States, but these situations do tend to have global effects. And many times when the United States is undergoing something, so is the rest of the world. In fact, sometimes it's even worse. Take Greece, for example, which I visited a few weeks ago. They're having a lot of challenges. And it depends on who you talk to. I talked to a taxi driver and I talked to a business person. You talk to different people, you get different answers. But essentially, the economy is in trouble. The stock market. There's a lot of unease in the stock market at the time I'm making this recording because the stock market recently tumbled severely, and then it came back up, and now people are thinking, well, maybe I'll just keep my money in cash, maybe I'll put it in stocks, and I myself am very heavily invested in cash at this time because I'm not certain that we're completely out of the stock market tumbling again. So we've got a lot going on. There's also the housing market. Currently, I own two houses. The value on those houses is down right now. But on the flip side of that, since housing prices are down, if I want to buy another house, that's an advantage for me. So my point is that the economy has ups and downs, but also life has ups and downs. We have successes and failures. We have birth and death. We have mistakes and we have learning experiences. By the way, they're usually the same thing, mistakes and learning experiences, but it depends on how you look at them. We have job opportunities. We have job losses. And how you handle the quote-unquote downturns determines how you recover and leads to periods of growth and success. This is very interesting, but when the economy first started crashing in terms of the stock market fairly recently, Ford stock went down to $1. I had a vision. It just came to me, a Ford stock going up, and I was imagining a meter that was vertical. It's going up and down. And at the very bottom was the $1 mark. At the very top was a very high level. I don't recall exactly what it was, but it was a very high amount of money, I think $400 per share, which Ford never got to and probably never will. But my vision was of this stock going up, 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 and going to that $400 mark or somewhere around there. What actually happened is Ford stock went up to, I think, around $17 a share, which means that if you had put $100 into Ford stock at $1 a share and it went up to $17 a share, somewhere around there, $14, $17, something like that, then your stock would have increased to $14 or $1,700. And imagine what would have happened if you put $1,000 in or $10,000 or $100,000 in at that time if you were able to. It would have gone way up. I put a little bit of money in and made a little bit of money because I got out when I saw it going up because I thought it was going to go back down. But think about that. Think about what happened. A lot of people were looking at the situation as, oh my goodness, the sky is falling. Ford is down to $1. Here's a company that's been around forever, it seems, since the early 1900s, I believe. Started by Henry Ford, a very influential person. Some people credit Henry Ford with bringing us the weekend. Some people say that Henry Ford created the weekend so that his workers could have time off, a couple days to recover, and come back and be more productive. Whether or not that's accurate, I don't know. But sometime around that time of Henry Ford, the weekend emerged, and suddenly workers had 2 days off to recover and have fun and do what they wanted to, and they did come back more productive. So here was someone who was considered to be, whether mythologically or not, considered to be one of the cornerstones of a lot of things, of industry, of the weekend, etc. And the stock of his company, the company that he started, was down to $1. People were saying the sky is falling. Ford's down to $1. What are we going to do? But some people, myself included, saw that as an opportunity, an investment opportunity. So even when it seems like things are tumbling, you've got to look for the light at the end of the tunnel. You've got to see what's good in this, what's amazing in this, what's powerful in this. How you handle what seems to be upset is going to determine how you recover from things, and is going to potentially lead to a period of growth for you, a period of success. Now let's take another illustration. Let's think about divorce. I've been divorced. I've been divorced twice. And a lot of people would look at that and think, oh my goodness, it's this devastating time, because it really is. It's a devastating time. They say it takes half the time that you were married to get over the marriage, to be okay again. And they also say that you shouldn't date for a year after you get a divorce. Of course, hardly anyone follows that advice because they want to be with someone so badly that they go looking sometimes in all the wrong places. But think about that. You're in a period of devastation after a divorce. What's the last thing on your mind? Probably the last thing on your mind is, what's good about this? What's great about this? What's wonderful about this? Well, for me, the first time around, ending the marriage was not my idea. That's not something that I wanted. Eventually, I got on board with it because it seemed to me the only way to go. But I had to start thinking about what's good in this situation. What's good about this? What's positive about this? And so I went through a period of tremendous self-growth. I went through a little bit of period of feeling woe is me and the sky is falling, etc., just like people often feel when something like that happens. They feel terrible for a while. But I also started looking at it as a period of personal growth. I thought to myself that the next person I meet is going to be at an even higher level than I have been throughout my life. And I thought, how am I going to make that happen? What does that mean, and how am I going to make that happen? Well, what it meant was that I'm going to meet someone who is emotionally, financially, etc., doing better than I've ever done. And I thought, what's it going to take for me to attract that person, to draw that person to me? Why would they even want to talk to me? I'm going to have to step up and become that person myself. So because I had this driving motive, I started reading a lot of self-help books, getting even more into hypnotherapy, looking for ways to improve myself. And that led me to look for ways to create products to help other people, because I thought, well, I'm helping myself using this technology I've learned, I'm going to help others. And so that ultimately actually contributed tremendously to my financial success, because I looked at the light at the end of the tunnel. Rather than looking at it as an end of something, which it was, I focused on it being the beginning of something, but it was still dark. I was still in the tunnel. I was recently divorced. Just like when the stock market crashed, I had a lot of stocks. I lost money, just like a lot of people did. But I also looked at it as an opportunity. So when I got a divorce, I lost my wife. She was gone from my life. I lost something that was valuable to me. But I looked for the opportunity. What can I gain? And I thought, I'm not just going to gain someone. I'm not just going to gain a new situation like that. I'm going to take this opportunity to improve myself. And so that was the common denominator in both of those situations, the stock market and the divorce. I looked for the positive. Now, this doesn't mean I'm a superhero. This doesn't mean I'm always looking on the bright side and I never get down or anything like that. This just means that I have an ability that I can teach you. I have the ability to start looking around in my environment to find things that are positive and that are going to improve the situation. If you're in a house and the house is on fire, what are you going to look for? You're going to look for a way out. You're going to look for the way out of there. So that's what I want to encourage you to do. Look for the way out of the situation. You're not going to go deeper into the house unless you need to save someone. You're going to start thinking, and thinking quickly while there's still air available and while you can still kind of see your way around. You're going to start looking for ways to get out of that house. I want you to start thinking of the situation in your life in a similar way. You've got something that you need to get out of, or you wouldn't be listening to this recording. You wouldn't be listening to what I have to say right now if you weren't in the situation that you wanted to improve, that you wanted to change, that you wanted to get out of. I want you to start looking around your environment for the way out. Now, when you're in a burning building, you need the quick fix. You need to get out of there. It doesn't matter how you get out, just get out. But you're not in a burning building. What you are in is an unpleasant situation. You're in a situation that's not working for you. How do I know that? As I said, because you're listening to this recording. And if you're not in that situation, then stop listening to this recording, because you don't need my help. But if you're still listening, I can help you, because I know where you are. You're in a situation that's uncomfortable. It's not working for you. You've tried things in the past, and I focus on the word try, even though I don't like the word try. You've tried things in the past, and they haven't worked. You've taken action, and it hasn't led to where you want to be. It doesn't mean you took the wrong action. Maybe you weren't consistent with it or persistent. You didn't stick with it or do it on a regular enough basis. Sort of like exercise. You have to stick with it and do it on a regular basis. Otherwise, it's not going to help you. the first step to getting from where you are to where you want to be is to focus on the things in your environment that are positive, the opportunity that you have. Think about this. One of my favorite self-help authors and speakers and so forth is Tony Robbins. Great guy. He loves to tell a story, or at least he used to, about his place in Venice, California that he lived in. And then he moved across the street to Marina Del Rey, where I have lived, and is a big improvement because Venice, California is a great place. There are great places to live in Venice, but it has a reputation as being a little seedy. And where he was living wasn't the best part of Venice. If you live in Venice, please don't take offense to that. But you know what I'm talking about. It has an artsy feel, but kind of a seedy feel at the same time. But right across the street, there's this place called Marina Del Rey. And Marina Del Rey has a completely different feel, a completely different reputation. It has an affluent feel and an affluent reputation. The artists are in Venice. The wealthy people are in Marina Del Rey. Doesn't make them better than the others. Neither of them are better than the others. It's just the perception that you have. But Tony Robbins talks about his story about when he made that big move from his one-bedroom studio, I think it was, all the way across the street, not very far, to Marina Del Rey. The important thing is not the move or that he was in a better neighborhood or anything like that. The important thing is that he had changed his mindset. He had started looking for the positive things. And what I really want you to get out of this is now he's able to tell that story. Really, that's what was great about it. The fact that he can inspire you and me and everyone we know. Because he was down in the dumps. He was poor. He was in an unhappy situation. And so even at that time, I believe that he saw that someday that was going to be a great story. Someday that was going to be his rags to riches story. So even if you don't see anything else good about what's going on right now, realize that someday this can be your story. This can be your Venice, California, what you're in right now. And you can be an inspiration to other people because of the change that you are about to make. Because you're about to go on a journey that ends with you being wealthy. That's what I'm inviting you to take right now, that journey. It's going to last your entire life. You're not going to have to wait that long to get wealthy. It's going to happen much sooner than you think. And it's going to last your entire life. But you're going to go on that journey. So if nothing else seems great to you right now, realize that this can always be the rags part of your rags to riches story. And realize that for you right now, it is very important to stay positive. You need to be one of the people on the plane who is positive, who's joking, or even napping or reading a book, who is focused on the positive. You need to be relaxed. You need to let go of all that concern. You need to realize it's going to work out. It's an interesting catch-22 situation when you're not as wealthy as you want to be, because there's the anxiety that you should be wealthier than you are, yet there's the fact that that anxiety causes you sometimes to create more of the same, to continue to stay in the stagnant situation, because anxiety can cause you to run in circles. Anxiety can also be channeled into motivation if you treat it properly. So think of anxiety like energy. You've got this energy. What have you been doing with it? Have you been using it to smoke? Have you been using it to do something productive like jogging? Have you been using it to talk to your friends all day about how terrible your situation is? Have you been using it to look for opportunities in your environment? What have you been using that energy for, and what can you start using that energy for tomorrow that's going to be much more productive? I would encourage you to let go of the negative habits you have. If you've been attempting to control that energy with smoking and drinking and so forth, I would encourage you to stop that immediately. I would encourage you to start using that energy to improve your physical body by jogging or swimming or biking or all three. I would encourage you to use that energy to start looking for opportunities and actually following up on them. I would encourage you to use that energy to attend any free seminars in your area. There's so many free seminars available. There are people talking everywhere that want you to come to their seminar free. They don't want to charge you. They just want you to come for free. Even online, there are free seminars. They call them webinars, and they're free. There are a lot of these things going on all the time that are free, that are in your environment, that you can access without even leaving your home through the internet. Start using your energy to explore those options. But more importantly, start making a plan. Start putting the pieces together. Start assembling the pieces in your mind of a winning game plan. How do you know a winning game plan is winning? Well, if you're fortunate enough, you can pattern what somebody else did. That's why it's important to hang around wealthy people. Doesn't mean you have to buy a $1 million house and move into it right away, but you should start going places where wealthy people are, people you consider to be wealthy, the next level up. What's the next level up for you? Start hanging around those people. Always, whenever possible, always hang around people who are better than you at everything. Recently, I was in Asia and we were hiking in some caves. And I thought, this is crazy. They're going to hike through 5 miles of caves. I'll go in and take a little look, and then I'll go back out. I'll go in and get some pictures, and I'll get back out. I love taking pictures of me doing cool things, and I'll take a picture or two of me doing that. Then I'm going to get out of the cave. My friends were going to hike the whole thing, and we're talking about very deep caves. We went in one cave that they said was the largest cave in the world. They said they could get many airplanes in it, and I thought, that's great. I'm going to get a picture of me in front of the largest cave in the world, and I'm going to get out, get the picture, and get out. That was my plan. But my friends, about 20 of them that were on that particular expedition, were going to hike the whole thing. And at first I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you hike the whole thing? But I started doing it. I started walking with them because I didn't want to get separated from the group. And we started walking and walking and walking more. And I thought, oh, why are we doing this? All right, I'll keep walking. Eventually, we're halfway through the hike, and I realized, wait a minute, this is actually kind of cool. I'm seeing some really neat things in here. I'm seeing stalactites and stalagmites. I started taking more pictures. We got to one part where there's an underground river. We got to another part where there's this cavern that went down, and we couldn't even see the bottom of it. And I thought, wow, this is where the good stuff happens, when you push yourself. Another story that happened to me recently, I was on a bike ride with a friend of mine, and she said, come on, let's go down there. And it was, I think, 3 miles. It looked like it was about to rain, and I thought, well, I don't really want to do that. It looks like it's about to rain, and I got kind of whiny about it. I said, I don't know. Why don't we bike over here, and then we'll just call it a day. It looks like it's going to rain anyway. And she said, no, come on. I said, all right. So I started biking, and I got a little bit down the road, and it was this dusty dirt road, and my nice, beautiful black Bianchi mountain bike was getting dust all over it. And I thought, I should be on some kind of trail, not this dusty trail, but some kind of paved trail or something. And I kept going anyway. I thought, all right, she's doing it. I'll do it. It might rain. Let's just keep going, whatever. And then I started noticing nature, and it was so beautiful out. And I started stopping taking pictures, which I always do. And I started going on further, and there was a sunset that was starting to happen. I thought, wow, that's really great. Let me get a picture of that. And then we went on and on and on. And then at the very end of the trail was some sort of exhibit, because it was formerly, I believe, a railroad that went by there, and some sort of exhibit that people had put together. They had just hung stuff in the trees, interesting little items, and they had made some sort of shrine or exhibit, if you want to call it that. And there was a dock that went out onto the water that you could walk out on. I thought, wow, I never would have seen this interesting sight if I hadn't gone all the way to the end. But then I had to go 3 miles back down that dusty trail and so forth. But you know what? The trip back wasn't so bad because I took with me that memory. Another example is when I was writing a book with my good friend Frank Mangano, consumer health advocate Frank Mangano. I was writing the book, You Can Attract It. We wrote it together. And at first, when he said, let's write a book together, I said, okay, fine, let's write a book together. I'll provide the hypnosis part. And you provide, he's a consumer health advocate, so you provide the health part and how everyone can stay healthy and so forth. And so I submitted to him something that I already had from another book I had on hypnotherapy. I said, here, just use this and put this in the book. He looked at it, and he didn't write me back. He didn't email me back for a week. I lived in Savannah, Georgia. He's in New York. And he didn't email me back for a week after that. I thought, okay, maybe he didn't get my email. Let me send it again. So I sent it again. And waited another week. He didn't email me back. I thought, okay, this is my friend. I'm not going to mention on the phone. I'm not going to bring it up to him because maybe he didn't get around to it. And then I finally brought it up to him after 2 weeks. And I said, Frank, what's going on? I sent you my part of the book. Are we going to go forward with this or not? He said, you know, I really had in mind a new work, a more elaborate work. 2 years later, we finished the book. Frank Mangano made me work for 2 years on that book, crafting it into a work of art. It's now available in Barnes & Noble. It's now available on Amazon. I'm not pushing the book on you. I'm just telling you that this is the level it went to. I actually had a book tour that I went on after that. People loved this book. John Assaroff, who was in The Secret, read the book. He said, guys, I'm going to write the foreword for this. So John Assaroff wrote the foreword for You Can Attract It. It's a hit. But it wouldn't have been a hit if we had done it the way that I initially wanted to do it, because I was thinking like my cave walking and like the bike ride. I was thinking, let's just do a little bit and call it a day. But Frank Mangano pushed me and said, we're going to do this the right way. We're going to knock this out of the park. We're going to make this the best thing ever. I have been so fortunate to be surrounded by friends who push me, who make me better than I was, who see greatness in me and pull it out of me and almost force me to be great because they see it in there. They don't let me take the easy way out. They encourage me. They'll taunt me if they have to bring out the greatness in me. That's what you need. You need to surround yourself with people who are better than you. I surround myself with people who are more energetic with me, who see a bigger picture than me, who push me harder than I would push myself, who see a greatness in me and in themselves that I wouldn't otherwise see. And once I see it, then I'm able to do more of that. Once we did that walk in the cave, I did another one. Same trip to Asia, another walk in the cave. I believe it was the very next day, actually. And I was tired. I was going on a few hours sleep at that time, but I did it the next day and I was happy about it. After that bike ride, I couldn't get enough of bike riding. I wanted to do more and longer bike rides. After writing that book, Frank and I wrote another book together. That one's called The Power of Thin, by the way, a weight loss book, which was also picked up by a publisher. So it's these people I surround myself with who are responsible for my success. So if you find yourself in a situation where, let's say you don't have a book written or you haven't done anything that you consider to be great yet, start surrounding yourself with people who are better than you. And I don't mean that anyone's better than anyone else, but you know what I mean. People who are better than you at getting things done. People who will push themselves further than you will push yourself. People who will push you further than you will push yourself. When I say better, that's what I mean. Because hanging around them, you're going to become that better person. You're going to take something from that. You're going to make it part of you. You're going to put it in your heart and in your mind. It's going to become part of you. So whatever your situation is, I encourage you to take that step first and foremost. Start hanging around people who you consider to be financially more successful than you. What's going to happen? You're going to step it up. You're going to go further. You're going to do more things financially than you thought were even possible. You're also going to learn quite a bit. Join me in the next module as we talk about the fact that you are in charge of your financial future.